I would just like to know, how expensive does gas need to be before we can invent a nozzle that doesn't dribble? Is it too much to ask at that point? Like, seriously, every time there's those few random drops that come out the end, it's like a freaking dollar at this point. Like, it's just get something that works and keeps it tight. The mustard containers that and the ketchup containers that close when you stop squeezing them, some guy designed that because he was looking at his cat's butthole. Can we get that guy on it? Like, let's just take everything that my wiener does when I'm peeing and do the opposite.
Well, 7 more years of the carbon tax, twos, and I'm sure we'll be there, right? I think we'll be there by that time,
necessity
won't we?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right. Mashup 100. Hundy, we're here. Yep. We're here. 100. Did you ever think we'd get here?
I didn't really think about it too much, and technically this is 102, but sure. It was just sort of one of those, I don't know, we're on a track and we're coming up on it, and it was just, it's just a milestone that we're going to get past, and I don't know. Like,
it's still a cool milestone. It's a cool milestone.
I don't know. It's not even that big of a deal, man. It's just
100 mashups.
Episode. It's another episode, dude.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's,
I don't know,
cool.
How much time do you want to spend having each other tell us all how awesome we are?
A couple minutes. Especially when Chris Sims was here. Chris Sims is supposed to be in the house and she disappeared. I'm like, well, that isn't going to plan, you know? So we're gonna have to skip by April 1st just so we could talk about it later, maybe. I don't know. I told Chris Sims, it's Mashup 100. Don't screw me up. And she's just entering, right? Like, she's so mad. Mashup 100, April 1st. Obviously, we got protests going on across the country. We also have the Coots 2 still in. 778 days, twos, yep. If anyone's keeping count, which we are.
We are.
Also of note, Friday, April 5th. The mashup, this is the last time it's going to be at 9 o'clock at night. Lord willing, we're going to be Fridays from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be double duty this week.
Friday at 2.
Correct.
And then at 10 going forward.
So Friday's at 10 a.m. minus this Friday. That should be clear as mud to most people. Okay. We got Chris Sims sitting in the waiting room. Shall we bring her in and talk a little April 1st? Tom Foolery.
Hi. Happy Carbon Tax Day, I think. What do you say about that? It's like a solemn occasion. So it's like you just kind of nod at it sagely, like it's April 1st. I don't know.
It's
like,
April 1st.
I don't know. Not to sound trite, but I feel like we should have a moment of silence at 1:11 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Prices are going up for everybody. What I find more frustrating, though, is that trying to explain this to people who are believing the spin, that they somehow magically get more back than they pay in, I think that irks me the most. Because then you're just like, help me help you guys. Why are you carrying water for the government? I don't understand. There's apparently counter protests going on today. Can you imagine?
Tax me harder, Daddy.
Exactly. Can you imagine protesting, saying, please tax me harder? Actually, I'm not that surprised. What am I saying? So.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun to do a really sarcastic one? Like, taxes into oblivion.
Yes. I'm sick of eating and heating. I want to freeze to death in the dark. Bastards. Yeah.
Wait. Is it possible that these are April Fool's jokes?
I don't know. I saw footage of people out there and they weren't like really being sarcastic as far as I could tell. And then there's just folks again who I think are well-meaning. Again, it's Twitter, so we know you can get a little bit kooky on there. But there's folks on there who seem to truly believe that Justin's making them richer, which is weird.
Well,
they work for ArriveCan, Chris.
I guess so. Good gig if you can get it, right?
Well, we got an action-packed show. Shall we get into a couple of the headlines, see what Chris Sims' thoughts are on the old April 1st I don't know. I didn't even know what to say about this day, because I want to make fun of it, but it's actually, I stopped at the pumps today, and people watching may wonder where I'm at. I'm in a hotel boardroom, so I'm on the road. I had to fill up a couple times, and let me tell you, that wasn't fun experience here in Alberta. So why don't we get on to some headlines, twos, read some things, and see what Chris has to say about April 1st.
Twos is going to read some things.
It's funny when you read them sometimes, twos.
Well, Twos wants to read today? Oh boy.
Hunter, no, I thought that's what you were saying is that
happy. I'll read. Happy Carbon Tax Day. Oh, what a day it is. Okay, multiple things here going on. Obviously, protests across the country. Obviously, Chris is going to break down for us exactly why people are protesting today. But let's just start here. Here's a couple of things going on in the news. First, the Manitoba government has confirmed it intends to ask Ottawa to remove the carbon tax from this province. You can see Chris is happy about that. The next one is the carbon tax on natural gas for home heating in Alberta is now going to be more than double the price of the natural gas itself. The carbon tax on 1 gigajoule is going up to $4.09, while the price for that same gigajoule itself is $1.72. That's coming from Danielle Smith. So, Chris,
also, Trudeau says conservative premiers lying about carbon pricing.
Right. So, Chris, one of the things that I was happy to have you on about is there's this thing like we're getting all more money back in the rebates. Don't worry about it, folks. We're getting more money back in the rebates. I'm like, what news sources are they watching? Because I follow the Canadian Taxpayer Federation, and somebody's lying here. Let's have it out.
Yeah, they're full of it. To have the government say, I'm going to magically make you richer by taxing you harder, like, people should not believe that. So a lot of things going on today. You're right, the carbon tax is going up. Unfortunately, I do have to mention this, the provincial fuel tax went up today as well. So
yep.
What is going on in Alberta? Super not happy about that. Now, all that said, cards on the table, I'm a pretty darn big fan of Premier Danielle Smith. It's also her birthday today, by the way. So didn't know that until I opened up the Twitter machine this morning. So got some conflicted feelings going on here right now. But she put on a great performance when she went to the committee and really put the boots to Trudeau right alongside Scott Moe, saying very similar things. And so we're really happy to hear Wab Kanu, who is the NDP premier, by the way, I will point that out, Manitoba government, now joining the chorus. So I think that's now 8 out of 10 premiers, I'm pretty sure, across Canada now saying, you know what, take this carbon tax and shove it. So we're really happy to hear that pushback. What's frustrating here, though, is just seeing the government messaging coming from Trudeau that is just outright spin, like absolute nonsense. Anybody with a shred of common sense wouldn't believe it. And this is how it breaks down. If you give the government a $20 bill, are they going to give you back a $50 and cost you nothing? Of course not. That doesn't make any sense. The government has to filter your carbon tax through layers of bureaucrats and they add the GST on top of it. So the average Alberta family will be out more than $900 net this year. That's with rebates factored in. And that's not even our math. That's the Parliamentary Budget Officer's math, who is an arm's length watchdog. So every time he opens his mouth and says, you're getting more back than you paid, like that is just not true.
How about this tweet then, Chris? This is from Environment Canada. In provinces where the federal fuel charge applies, 8 out of 10 households receive more back than they pay as a result of the Canada carbon rebate. Can't even spit it out. Now, and then it goes on to show all the provinces.
Where specifically does that math fall short, Chris?
Okay, so they're doing two things here. One, they're looking at only the poorest of families. So I'm talking about people who already, God bless them, can't afford a car. All right. They're walking to whatever work they can get, or they're maybe trying to save up for the bus. They're talking way lower income families there. Number one. Number two, there's different elements of the PBO report, the Parliamentary Budget Officer report. So the first number, okay, before they do all the calculations, the first number is like, okay, Samantha is filling up her Honda Civic hatchback, just the price on her gasoline, which is 17 cents per liter. The amount she's paying for that fill up versus the amount she might get back in rebates, you know, that balances out, or she's getting a little bit back in rebates. What it's not taking into account is this: the farmer paying the carbon tax to keep his chickens alive all winter, the trucker who's paying the carbon tax on the diesel. And by the way, you're filling up two of those big rig cylinders now. That's costing that trucker about $200 extra. just in the carbon tax. It's also not considering the GST. So what the PBO report did at its base level when it did all the calculations was what's called the economic impact of the carbon tax. It was not just the nickel for nickel or whatever it is at the gas station. He looked at the holistic picture. And that, my friends, is how you get to average Alberta family. So picture a middle class family, okay, living on a cul-de-sac. That family's out about $900 net this year. And if he's now trying to spin the table and say, oh, well, this is actually not about the environment, this is about some sort of wealth redistribution scheme. So this is what people were accusing him of years ago when he first hatched the carbon tax. And he said, no, this is to save Gaia.
Well, and then what's his name? The kayaker actually said.
Vancouverden. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. He actually said in an interview that it was both helping the environment and redistributing wealth. And Zane Southgate, by the way, says he averages 300 liters a week for fuel. Zane, in the nicest way possible,
bro,
vehicles can operate at less than 9,000 RPM.
Just a second. I'm doing the quick calculation on it. How much was that? 3,000 liters?
300 liters.
300 liters. 300 liters.
300 liters times 17 cents. That's $50 just in the carbon tax.
A week.
A week. Congratulations. That's just the carbon tax. You got a whole crap load of other taxes on top of that, too. Mm-hmm.
Twos. Next headline, please, for Miss Sims.
All right.
Raises for me, not for thee. I tell you what. You want to talk about it's bad enough it's April 1st and the taxes are going up. This is salt in the wound. And here we go. On April 1st, Canadian MPs will earn world's second highest salary for elected officials, Chris. They got a raise while everybody's getting kicked.
Yeah. This is a really bad one, and it bugs us a lot. So were they now going to be second behind the United States? That's according to Brian Passafume, great reporter there with the National
yes.
Post. Does great work there. So this means that Trudeau, for example, is going to be paid around $400,000 per year. A cabinet minister and the opposition leader, so they're very similar positions in rank, about $300,000, just shy of that. That is a heck of a ton of money, like enough to choke a horse. But this is what gets me too. That's just the salary. Okay. In addition to the salary, the prime minister lives in a mansion. Okay. Members of parliament and cabinet ministers, especially, get everything paid for. Like their food, their fuel. They probably have a clothing allowance that they can bill. Their transport.
Andrea Horwath used to, I know.
Yeah. Like all of the stuff that you and I will have to go, oh, you know, which bill, you know,
we have to pay for
right out of your pocket. They get that covered. Like all of that.
Snacks.
Covered.
They probably get free snacks.
Oh, hey, you want snacks? A lot of people don't know this. I only know this because I worked on the Hill. So a ton of members of parliament charge what's called a per diem, even when they're in Ottawa. Because they're away from home. Not kidding. Even though they have like a pretty permanent apartment there with a fridge and kitchen and the whole jazz, even though they get their hot meals catered to them right in the House of Commons lobby, a lot of them charge a per diem for three meals a day every time they're in Ottawa. It's gross.
How much do they get in a per diem?
Total per day is probably $70, $75 per day.
It's not crazy.
Well,
it's a little high, but it's not crazy.
It is if you're already living there.
Oh, like, yes, absolutely. But I was thinking just in terms of, you know, if you had to go out of town for work, you'd get probably
for sure.
Just, yeah.
I'm not talking if they're heading to Moose Jaw for a meeting or something. I'm talking Ottawa, like where they work. That's where they work. So yeah, it's a lot of dough. I also want to point out, and this is what gets me going, and I think a lot of your listeners going, is they've not missed one pay hike. So think back the last 4 years, all the lockdowns, all the shutdowns, all the freaking bankruptcies, all the businesses destroyed, people losing their livelihoods, getting pay cuts. These guys, not one paycheck did they ever miss. They got every single pay hike.
They were determined to be essential workers. They didn't miss a paycheck. Their industry wasn't hampered at all by the lockdowns. None of them got laid off.
Nope.
Now, tell me if I've got this exactly correct.
Okay.
So Pierre Poilievre in 38th Parliament, first session, Bill C-30, an act to amend the Parliament of Canada Act, et cetera, He voted yes. That was the bill that brought in the regular raises, the annual
The automatic inflation. Yep.
Is that's correct? Okay. All right.
Okay, yep.
So that's one of the first things that Pierre Poilievre ever voted on in the parliament was the inflation tied annual raises. I took screenshots on my phone, so it's
yeah. Tiny and nobody can read it. It's like, Tuz, I'm gonna have to take your
word
for
this. Completely unhelpful to anybody watching this, and they've just got to take
including
my word
the guests on the show. It's like I can't read that. I'm no help to you, Chris.
And then we got Wendy commenting saying, oh, she's so knowledgeable. Meanwhile, I'm like squinting at the screen. Yes.
Well, just because you're knowledgeable doesn't mean you have zoom lens eyeballs.
That'd be kind of cool. No, it would give Elon ideas, but that's what that looks like. And so again, we're calling on all members of parliament because, to put it nicely, we're kind of hearing crickets right now. We have not heard one member of parliament stand up, hold a press conference and say, you know what, as soon as I become leader, or if I were prime minister, I would scrap this pay raise, automatic pay raise happening. We're paid enough. Or I'm going to donate my raise to this charity.
There's one, I can't remember his name. I did see one member of parliament saying that he donates his annual raise to various charities.
Good.
But it was a little bit ambiguous. I wasn't sure if he meant each subsequent pay bump. So like he gets a year behind pay raise, or if it's just been all raises since he became a member of parliament.
It would be nice to see some leadership on this.
Any leadership.
Chris, before we kick you out of here, what do you have anything else on April 1st that you want people to know? You steered me wrong on the provincial fuels tax. I'm going to hold you to that one, because that one, I'm eating crow on that one, because I thought that was going to go different. So that one, I'm calling out the
I was right Federation. On that, by the way.
You guys
were
right.
Tuz was right.
I was blinded by my love. Yeah, that's what
happened. Any final thoughts before we let you out of here for people on April 1st? No April Fool's jokes happening today. Everything is going up. Any other thoughts before, any thoughts for the people out there?
Also, sorry, alcohol tax is going up, not as much as we thought it was going to be. So we did get a little bit of a win there. It was supposed to go up more than 4%, and we knocked them down to 2-ish%. So that was a big win there. So we saved some people some money, and just wanted to congratulate you, man. This is a nice milestone episode. And
hey, Chris, it is, isn't it? 100 mashups, Tuz.
It is.
Thanks,
it is.
Chris.
No, really. You guys lighten the load. I know sometimes these issues, and I'm just speaking to your audience here and to you guys too, if you don't mind. I know these issues can get depressing, straight up. Okay. But you guys do so as happy warriors and with humor. And I've just busted a gut laughing at you guys out walking my dog, even when you're talking about bad stuff. So I just wanted to thank you for doing a great show.
There you go.
Well, that's what you were just talking about this whole time, Chris, to be fair.
Now we got to go into this routine where we lighten the load again, because everyone's like pissed off. You see, we got 7 angry faces now. I'm like, when do we ever get angry faces?
We got one angry faces, and
it looks like 7. It looks like 7.
7 angry faces.
You have to Either bring way, out my puppet to talk about why the pigs are at the trough. It just, the news goes down better this way when you talk through a pig puppet.
Folks, Chris Sims, thanks for hopping on the Tuesday Mashup episode 100. We'll for sure have you back on at some point here in the future.
Bye, boys.
Okay. Now we gotta okay, so we lose Chris Sims. Now we got one more guest before we really start to mash this thing hard, because we're gonna fly here. We got Shane Stafford calling in from Lloydminster. You were at the protest all day long. We just kind of want to hear, you know, boots on the ground. What did you see? What were the highlights of the day of, of Lloydminster's version of the protest against the carbon tax?
Well, thanks for having me on today, guys, especially on 2 years full time, like twos, 100 episodes for you guys. That's awesome. Thank you. Today was great. We were in Lloyd all day. I think around 2,000 people showed up. Had several really good speakers. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, I'll say that. I think Danny Hozak, and then Bob Leone was on today. Lots of support from the highway, horns honking all day long. The police were generally quite good here in town. They stayed their distance, a few drone passovers throughout the day, but but I think all went well that way. I think a lot of people are fairly committed to being back tomorrow, and another, and the next day, and the next day after that, until such time as Trudeau decides to drop the carbon tax.
This is news to Tues. Me and Tues were talking about this before we started. Tues thought it was just an April 1st thing. You go out, you show your, you know, and you go about your day. But explain this to him, Shane, because you're...
Explain it to me like I'm 222 years old.
I don't have a puppet. I need a puppet. No, I was...
Show me on the puppet where the carbon tax hurt you.
No, they laid it out, but maybe it wasn't well advertised, but the group that planned this had kind of committed to the long run of keeping this going as long as it takes, to be heard. And I think that's kind of what, you know, talking to people in the crowd today, I think people are feeling, you know, obviously very unlistened to by their government, and they're wanting to stay until they're noticed.
Cool. So
it's not just the Lloyd location, to be clear, that's keeping this going as long as need be. It's the various locations that the protests were at.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So people can come down. I mean, in Lloyd anyways, they've been serving food all day long. I think it's back on tomorrow. There'll be pancakes in the morning, burgers at lunch, more speakers on tomorrow. I think we have, I'm going to say it wrong, Granny Mackay tomorrow.
You got it.
Some other speakers. So, if anyone's in the area or can get away from work or come after work, it's a lot of really good people.
Was there any semis, tractors, I don't know, big rigs, a part of it that...
Diskers?
You know,
did someone bring out a disker? That would have been awesome.
No diskers. Did see one tractor, at least one tractor, lots of semis. And actually some people, including myself here, camping in some land across the protest site. So, kind of a variety of different vehicles. Lots of people just standing on the side of the highway too.
So if people wanted to come camp, there's room still to camp to come and do that. If they got a semi or a tractor, they just want to come be a part of it. It's back going tomorrow on the east side of Lloydminster, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Just if you know where the tourist booth is, just outside of Lloyd on 16.
And, where the King's Husky used to be.
Correct. Yeah. They have secured a bunch of private land that they're letting us use for whatever we need, parking or camping or whatever. So
cool. Yeah. Any other thoughts, twos, questions before we move on? Appreciate Shane, you sticking around and coming on and giving us some of the insights from the day in Lloydminster. Twos.
No, this was perfect. And I think, you know, if I didn't realize that was the way forward with this, I feel like a lot of other people wouldn't have. So this is good. Very, very well done. Appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you very much, guys. And congratulations again.
And we should point out to people listening or watching that, if nobody shows up to this thing, it literally won't do anything, right? So if they're going to continue to hold the line and be on the east side of Lloyd and other locations across Canada, and you didn't know about it, you didn't have time today, as it goes along, if you can go lend some support, heck, go have a free meal in Lloyd. The lineup for the old pancake breakfast looked pretty appetizing this morning. And we saw Rebel News was there. We saw other people across. I was talking to a few people in Calgary about theirs going out towards, what would that be, Banff Twos out by Cochrane. And yep. The coverage going on there. So if you're wanting to be a part of it, make sure that you take the time to even just go and, you know, an hour or longer, don't matter. Mm-hmm. And make sure that if people are going to stay there, some support is being shown. I think any other thoughts that I'm missing?
Well, slight aside, call back to what we were talking about before, but I think very important to mention. Zane wants to know, last question for Chris Sims is, when does the Smash Up get to present an award for their little piggies?
That's a good,
we are all dying to know.
I agree. And Chris Sims, you got to give us an answer on that. I feel like we've been pretty patient on this side on when we get to present one of the awards at their annual award show. And I feel like it's overdue.
We got to get our tuxes lined up for this. Like,
yes, we do.
Just do this on a fly.
And I got to get
Harry
time.
And Lloyd tuxes.
That'd be great. That would be fantastic. We could have a lot of fun with this. Yes. Yes. Shane's like, I we've sucked him into our world. Thanks, Shane, for hopping on and giving us a quick update on Lloydminster. And well, look forward to hearing how tomorrow goes. Shane, obviously camping there for the night. And it sounds like there's room to camp. There's room to participate. There's free breakfast. There's free lunch. Go and have yourself a meal and meet some people. Support the protest that's going nationwide against the carbon tax. Thanks, Shane, again for hopping on.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Well, we've had Ken Rutherford sitting here in the wing for a while. What is Ken doing here?
I have no idea, Steve. You called me earlier today, and being April 1st, and I think it was to be set up as a bit of a prank for Sean, but I think it's mostly Sean to congratulate you on being full-time podcaster for 2 years, and also, Steve, to you and Sean on your 100th smash-up, and good on both of you for doing what you're doing. We need brave people now more than ever. And to repeat what Chris had said earlier, you do this so well with a sense of humor. But let's not forget how important it is to have people that are willing to have open debates and really debate some of the tougher topics. And good on both of you for doing that so bravely.
Well, I appreciate Ken for the mashup. Listener, they may not know this, but Ken was my first guest on the podcast. He was my first guest, him and Tanner Applegate, my first guest back when I went full-time podcasting. So pretty cool to have you hop on, Kenny. Where the heck are you anyways right now?
I'm in my car on the way back from Castle Mountain. My family and I got out and enjoyed some spring skiing, so I'm a little bit sunburnt, and I've got kids screaming in the back. They're getting baited with a cookie. They all get another cookie if they could keep quiet for a few minutes.
Well, here, how about this, Ken? So I had a phone call before we started with a lady I knew that went to the protest in Cochrane, which is the highway leading out to Banff. And she'd mentioned this, and now we're seeing it again. Now Lori has chimed in saying big black SUVs with SWAT teams showed up to the one outside Cochrane on Highway 1 and Highway 22. Sounded like they left them alone, but parked further down the I don't know, a mile away. What say you about a protest about the carbon tax that affects all of us and police
then
show
just
up?
Leaving SUVs idling nearby all day. Like, yeah, honestly, this is the one time where the horses would have made sense.
17 of them, according to the live she's seen.
So are you asking me to comment on the carbon tax protest?
I'm asking all of us to comment on the fact that possibly 17 SUVs with SWAT went to one of the protests on the highway leading to Banff.
Well, that's what Trudeau uses to get drive through. I don't see what the big deal is.
Well, I could say, Sean, I'm not meant for the mashup because I can't do these things with a light sense of humor, because I think we're in a very serious place in our country, and I'm sorry, I can't make light of it. This police force, you know, like, people are hurting, right? And paying, what is it, 17 cents a liter? It's supposed to go up double that, I believe, isn't it? You two would know better than I, by 2030. Right, you know, these are serious times, and there's people really hurting. And to think that our police force would come out and in fairness to these police force, you know, there's a lot of these people would be doing this against their will. I would think a lot of these RCMP are good people that are, you know, just getting instructions from above. I don't know what to say. I think we're in tough as a country. So I'm sorry, I'm not meant for the mashup. I'm too.
You're perfect for the mashup. Chris Sims just came on and blew the top off. Rutherford and Shane Stafford. Kenny, drive safe, would you?
Awesome.
And give those.
It's to have you on here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, give the kids the cookie.
But in all seriousness, congratulations to both of you two for doing this. Way to go.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. See you, fellas. We'll have a sociable and Lloyd when I see you next.
Sounds good, fellas. Bye bye.
Okay. Are we done yet? Can we get on to the episode 100 and rapid fire
show? Or
holy dino! I got 29 minutes in, folks, and I got a lot of headlines to get through. This is going to be fast. The NDP are not a serious party, and a shout out to Ken, Shane, and Chris for hopping on and doing this. Okay, with the Alberta NDP leadership. And now we got Mr. Newman on. Okay,
how you doing, Mr. Newman?
I'm doing well, Dad. How's Daddy-O doing tonight?
Actually, we got two Mr. Newmans because we're just trying to make sure that everything runs smoothly.
Yeah, you guys should have called ahead of time to make sure everything was all lined up. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know how to run this thing, and Harley actually got a hold of you, and what did he say to you? What are you doing?
So to the listener, they call me. And he's like, yeah, I just wondering about dad and something. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, nothing. Click. I'm like, what the hell was that? And Tuesday's like, what was what? I'm like, my brother just called me. Which brother? I'm like, Harley. What did he say? Something about dad and tonight, and he's ready. And he's like, what? And so I'm still very, very, very confused, but I appreciate you coming on. And I don't know. What does dad got to say about a carbon tax hike again?
I got to talk about Mr. Newman on the other side there. Cause everybody doesn't really know you, even twos. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, we'll bring Harley in here because we do have some stories about Shawnee O'Leary. Why is he Shawnee O'Leary? Because back in the old days, there was a boxer named Shawnee O'Leary, and he got the crap beat out of him every time, and he'd just get back up. And so that's where he got Shawnee O'Leary. But so we were trying to think up stories of Sean.
The one that came to mind for me was we're at my ball tournament, and we're up in Saskatoon at the Golf Dome. Right. We're all just cracking balls, having a blast. Sean walks behind Mitch Winehandle, and Mitch is doing the old Happy Gilmore and takes a few steps back, swings, catches Sean right in the forehead. Not the first time that Sean has had stitches in his forehead.
That actually explains a lot.
Because there's blood everywhere. I forget what room number I'm even going to. But I'm just running because I got to go get mom.
And the one time we actually wanted tampons in the bathroom.
I completely back out as to what even room number we're going to. By the time I get back, mom's already there, and Sean's already on his way to the hospital. And one of the few times that Sean got stitches in the forehead, that's for sure.
Sean, have you ever run into the back of an old lady?
Well, when I was biking, yes, I ran into a parked car that was an old lady. I don't know what the hell is going on here. This is not what I've expected for Mashup 100, folks. So when 2006, Dustin, one of my other brothers, and Lori, a good friend of ours, biked across Canada, and we were going through PEI, and we were biking along this road, you know, one after another, and Lori was going, hey, there's a garage sale. And I said, a garage sale? Yeah, let's stop at the garage sale because we got so much space. We got two panniers on this bike. Where are you going to stick anything? And I'm kind of giving it to her. And
I look over. Ideas.
And I look over and I see this stack of board games. I'm like, oh, but they got board games. I wonder if they got, and I mean, I didn't even get through. I wonder if they got, and I looked up at the corner of my eye, parked car, and Dustin and Lori had already swerved around it. And I mean, I T-boned that thing. And this old lady came up just running and gave me an earful until she realized I was from Saskatchewan, and then I was on a pedal bike, and that there was no damage to her car other than my ego, right? I just ran into a parked car. So yes, I've had my, I've taken my hits for sure.
One of the other great stories about Sean, me and him are at home, mom and dad are gone. The other siblings are all gone. So we decide that we're going to set up an obstacle course outside in the sprinklers, the whole bit. And so we're just giving her, doing the obstacle course. And Sean's the first one through, jumps over the sprinkler. And what did we do? We had the rake on the other side with the tines up. And Sean had all four tines right in the bottom of his foot. So what do? You call grandma. Grandma, Sean's got this rake stuck in the bottom of his foot. She races over, brings out the iodine. And Sean's like, what iodine? Was it the iodine or was it the other stuff? No, it's the iodine. Oh, this is going to hurt. It puts his foot in the iodine and it's sizzling and Sean was howling and I was sitting there laughing.
But do you hear what he said there too? Sean was first. That's all that should be matter about that. Sean was in the lead.
Okay.
He was willing to take it in the foot to be first.
That just sounds like a smarter older brother to me.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Smarter older brother. So we used to go down to the Silver Dome. It was natural ice. And there was about four or five of us that would flood every night. We'd take turns. So I take Sean down with me. He's four, maybe five. And the one end, there's quite a bit of ice. So I put a net out there for him. And I'm flooding the other end. And I can hear him.
and he's just going on and on and on. Every once in a while, he puts his hand up like this and he slaps something. And then he goes and he sits through the open door on a bench. And I can hear him just gibbering away.
And so, funny how things change.
This is why he is the way he is. And two's got to put up with it. And so I get done flooding that in. I go down there. And he'd come out. He'd done around. He scored a goal. They had high fives. He goes back. And he's sitting and he's talking to the guys on the bench. There's nobody there. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, just me and Gretz and Mess. We're just talking about the play we're going to do next time." And he's like 4 years old. And the other one I think of is your stag.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to cut you off there. I'm pretty sure we get a little bit dicey, but I don't know if we can get that dicey.
Though. So they rent a bus, Len's party bus. We'll put a plug in.
A little plug in for Len's party bus what is that? Kid Scotty Vermillion, somewhere over there.
You know,
doing paintballing and having some drinks.
Yeah,
we're on our way back. Everybody's got to pee,
and we stop in Vegreville late at night to fuel up. Who doesn't? Vegreville closes at 10 o'clock and we're there at midnight. And so I got all these drunks on my hand, Sean included. And I'm thinking, there's going to be a cop somewhere. And so I'm watching. And sure enough, I see the car about four blocks away. And I hustle everybody into the bus. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. No Sean. Sean has a ball and chain on him, on his ankle. And I can't find him, eh? And this cop pulls up.
Well, how far could he go?
And he is sitting over, he's peeing over by some fuel tanks. And he sees the cop pull up. So he throws his bottle over the fence into the UFA there. They're probably why the grass doesn't grow. They know why now. And the cop says, "Okay, that's it. He's coming with me. We're going to jail." And so I said, If he's going to jail, I'm going to jail because I can't go home and tell his mother that Sean's in jail. So we argue back and forth. And then the sergeant, another car pulls up and drives in. And the sergeant says, "What's going on?" Kind of tell him. And he says, "Tell you what, I will go through all the paperwork. I will breathalyze the driver and we'll make sure everything's on the up and up. And if everything's good, paperwork's good, he's clean, I'll let you guys go." Okay. So he does all that. Everything's good, right? So we all climb back on the bus and we go 20 feet and on come the lights again, and the siren. And we go, "Now." And the sergeant comes back on and he says, "Which one's the groom?" And we point to the one with the ball and chain on his ankle. Says him. He says, "Anybody here want pictures of him strapped over the hood getting arrested?" The whole bus just went nuts. So he grabs Sean, takes him out there, puts him over the hood face down, cuffs him, and then holds his hand on there and smiles for the cameras.
Nice.
Yeah, there's more, but congratulations. Twos, you need a medal for putting up with him.
I'm the guy who needs a medal for putting up with Twos. What are we talking about here?
Putting up with him and all his shenanigans.
Yeah, that's exactly. Great. But congratulations, guys.
All right, thanks for coming on. Okay.
Anything else, Twos? Anything else? You know, what did we go here? He's like, "Oh, we're not going to spend any time on this. No time whatsoever." Now we're 40 minutes in. 40 minutes in. We just calling it a day.
You know what? I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, people are going a little bit over time, you know, like what you and Brett were talking about, but it's totally worth it. Like, this isn't dead air by any means.
No.
The NDP are not a serious party, Sean.
Can I begin? Can I begin?
It would be nice if you got going eventually.
All right. The NDP are not a serious party. Let's get this mashup 100 underway, shall we? With the Alberta NDP leadership race now in full swing, the idea of cutting ties with the federal NDP has once again become a topic of conversation within party circles. but a new development in a five-year-long defamation dispute involving ex-United Conservative Party candidate Caelan Ford call into question whether the Alberta NDP even exists in a legal sense. Yeah. You might scratch your head on that.
So it's not even the NDP are not a serious party. The NDP are not an actual party.
They're not an actual party.
So, yeah, apparently they forgot to sign some documents or didn't check the right box or whatever else. And the whole party, I think, if I'm understanding things correctly, are actually technically independents.
It says, quoted, the evidence before me is that this is a judge. OK, the evidence before me is that the Alberta NDP is the beneficiary of a trust established in 1977 pursuant to a trust deed, wrote Judge Corona Dario in an interjudiciary decision published last week. The difficulty with this, however, is that the Alberta New Democratic Party Foundation, the trustee named in the deed, appears to itself be an unincorporated association and therefore, like the Alberta NDP, does not have the legal capacity to sue or to be sued. And another person's coming in. Are you kidding me?
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Well, at least we got through one. We're going to move on from the NDP aren't a serious party. Dust, how's it going tonight?
Great. 100 episode. That's fantastic, guys. Congratulations. And yeah, I guess you get me.
Well,
that's it. Okay. Well, thanks for coming.
Do I get to comment on one topic? The next
sure.
one?
Sure. No. All right. All next right, one is
stop lying about free everything. The federal politicians are giving seniors the impression that the government's new dental program means free dental care when it doesn't. Says the Dental Association of PEI, and the group says that it is already causing problems. Frustration and confusion over the Canadian Dental Care Plan announced late last year has PEI dentists turning away from the program, the association said. When it surveyed its members recently, it got 36 responses representing about half of the association members, and 32 of those dentists said they would not sign up for it.
There's only one guy on this podcast, I think, that was missing a tooth that this would actually help.
Yeah, it's he's fair. Far too young for it, though.
That's the thing.
It's just you're going to be getting there before he does.
It's true. And, you know, I'd like to point out I got more hair than both of you. Well, maybe not twos. Actually, I don't even know if I can call that. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, anything the government sticks their hands into, it seems to get worse. And they literally write checks with their mouth. Their body can't cash. And once
and
again,
we can't
they're
cash either.
That's right.
They actually just came out with a national school food program as well as of today.
Yes. And yeah,
just one more thing.
Let's see how this is how you tackle obesity as an issue in society is you get government in charge of nutrition.
Here, you can hang on for one more, Dust. Give him the next one.
All right.
All right.
The science isn't settled. In the last few years, debate has been raging in North America over who should be allowed to compete in sports. While the discussion revolves around concepts of fairness and inclusion, researchers say the science around whether trans athletes have a competitive advantage is unsettled. An amateur and then twos tacked on an extra article.
So that's
that said,
the CBC article saying, well, no one's really sure if men have an inherent advantage over women, even after hormone treatments. But that leads us to the next article.
An amateur Australian soccer team. Yes.
I got a comment on that one. We had a lamb that we thought when we ringed it that we had both balls, but it only did one ball and it grew way better than the rest of the lambs that had both balls removed. So, yeah, that kind of ties into that story.
Mm-hmm. Well, the farmers will get a kick out of that. The amateur Australian soccer team.
Did you not see it? Were you expecting it somewhere different?
No. When you put a ring on someone on a lamb's testicle,
I know.
What happens is it sucks it up because it doesn't want the ring on its testicles. So if you're not careful, you put the ring on, you're like, oh, I got them both. But you gotta.
It does the cold water.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. As soon as you touch them, up it goes.
Okay, well, speaking of that sort of thing, Australian soccer team with 5 transgender players goes undefeated in women's tournament. Huge difference in ability. And they actually won one game by, it was 10-0.
10-0.
One player had 6 goals in a game?
Correct.
All right. Now, if you look at the Premier League, the biggest blowout in the entire history of the Premier League, which is, you know, where they play soccer over in England and whatnot, was 9-0, I think it was. And the most goals scored by one player is 5. And there's 5 of them that have done it.
Over
not
the course,
a single person
over the history
in the Premier League,
yeah,
in the history of that entire league, has scored 6 goals in one game. But one dude who slipped the ring managed to do it in Australia.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Dust, thanks for stopping by. Any final thoughts on Mashup 100? I keep getting derailed here. We're going to be here for 4 hours, folks, tonight, and I'm excited.
Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dust.
Of course, Dustin Newman, another one of my brothers, and he has been on here once for a full mashup. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, I think about it might have been a year ago too.
It was about a year ago. Well,
I think it was the same
a little
time.
Bit more because he was talking about the Clunker Dunker.
Yeah, that's true. That was the Clunker Dunker week. Anyways, shout out to Dust. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks to everybody hopping on. As much as I moan and complain, it is cool to have some people come on, and it is Mashup 100. Okay, Trans Day of Irony. Music's okay, music superstars Tegan and Sarah have released an open letter signed by more than 400 fellow Canadian artists from the worlds of music, film, and literature, denouncing what they describe as anti-trans legislation in parts of the country. Also, we had Trans Day of Visibility on Easter. You cannot make this up.
Well, I mean, at least the colors are consistent. You've got the pastel pink and the pastel blue. So, I mean, they got that going for them. See, really what the CN Tower should have done here, rather than saying they're lighting it up for International Transgender Day of Visibility and then doing it again for Easter, they should have just said, we're putting up pastel colors for whatever holiday you feel like celebrating. Fuck off and don't mention me in your comments. Now, funny thing.
Oh, he wants in. Okay, let's go. Okay. Let's roll.
Also, artists against anti-trans legislation. If you look on this page, Daryl Hannah is listed as one of the Canadian artists. There's over 400. You've only heard of about 38 of them. And Daryl Hannah, who is from fucking Chicago, is on this list. All right.
All right. And now we got Drew coming in from Rocky Mountain House. How's Drew doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing, Sean?
I got no complaints. I mean, my complaint is I've been trying to get this mashup to like roll, and Twos keeps adding guests into it, which is fun. I'm going to start complaining.
I don't even know how these people all get here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Anyways, we're talking about Trans Day of Irony. What does Drew have to say out in Rocky Mountain?
What do you
House?
Know
Thanks
about
for hopping
female
on.
And male electrical outlets?
Well, I know that one doesn't work without the other. I can tell you that for sure. And I know
how's it
that,
going, man? What are you up to?
What's that?
I said, how's it going, man? What are you up to?
Oh, I'm just out checking cows. I kind of got sidetracked and just trying to get enough light so you guys can see me.
There's a man who's actually working, Twos. Us two yahoos are having way too much fun, and the guy's out checking cows, and somehow he still has time to call into the Tuesday mashup.
Well, it's important. It's your 2-year anniversary and the 100th episode. That's quite the accomplishment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No April Fool's joke. It's I can't believe it all lands on April 1st, which is kind of funny, isn't it? Like, there's a whole lot of things going down on April 1st this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it's a little frightening this year. You don't know what to believe and what not to believe, but I can tell you one thing for sure. When everybody went to fill up this morning, they definitely got a bit of a shock. So,
oh yeah,
that's real.
100%. Do we want to bring him in on the next headline twos, because we got representatives of Saskatchewan. Now, for everybody watching, Drew is in Alberta, but I think this is good. This is trust the experts, and I stole on this from what happened in Saskatchewan, because I think it was actually really important. Representatives of Saskatchewan rural municipalities voted overwhelmingly at a recent convention in favor of resolution saying carbon dioxide isn't a pollutant, and calling on the province to step away from the climate change initiatives. The resolution on CO2 made at the annual meeting of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities, that is a mouthful, in mid-March says policies that vilify CO2 are illogical and unpredictable and will undoubtedly create an uncertain amount of negative impact to our existing crop production systems and economy. Be it resolved, quoted, that SARM will ensure that any policies that unduly target naturally occurring CO2 will be deemed as illogical and dangerous. We move that Saskatchewan remove itself from any national or international agreements that reference net zero. And then what the article was trying to frame it as is, here's a part of it. Ryan Brook, a professor of at University of Saskatchewan College of Agriculture and Bio Resources, said statements like SARMs are harmful because they can mislead the general public and promote misinformation. He said that his goal is to focus on facts. Human-caused climate change is real, and CO2 is a greenhouse gas that drives climate change. What say you, boys?
Go ahead, Drew.
Well, I think we discussed this pretty well in the when I was up in Lloyd there, that if our CO2 levels get much lower than where they already are, we're going to be in a pretty bad spot. We're going to see reduced food production. We're going to see reduction in our forests and in our green spaces. We know that as CO2 increases, that so does the green space on Earth. We looked it up on the whatever app Sean was using there when we had the round table, but the term net zero is it's anti-human, and I agree. We need to stop using that term.
Twos?
Well, the other thing about it is that Canada, the whole fucking top half of it, is a big goddamn green space. It's a big carbon sink. You've got the president of Guyana pushing back against British bullshit media saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, there's going to be a lot of oil and gas exploration offshore Guyana, but we've got the most protected forest on the planet. We've got gigatons of sequestered carbon, and we're not getting rid of it. We're keeping it there, and it's trapping more carbon, and we already are net zero. And I don't get why Canada doesn't ever want to have that conversation.
Yeah, we actually sequestered nearly 10 times the amount of carbon that we produce in Canada. So I think we're good.
Yeah.
I would concur.
I've got some methane emitters behind me that I should probably check in on here. So.
All right. Well, you know what? Yeah, maybe we're just going to have to eat some of them to save the planet.
Oh, you know I will.
All right.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks.
Oh, and I cut him out. Thanks, Drew.
Oh, okay. All right.
Cool.
We're good.
And for those who don't know, for those who don't know about Drew, that's AMC Electrical. They were a major sponsor in January. If you want to be a major sponsor or grab a month or an episode, you can hit us up in the show notes.
The episodes text. Are quite more polished if this is your first time here.
I don't know. This has been interesting. Okay. Lay off the booze. Two Calgary women who defaced a roadside sign promoting the petition to recall Mayor Jody Gondak will face criminal charges and will instead have to participate in an alternative measure program intended for adult first-time offenders. The adult alternative measures program is intended for Albertans charged with minor offenses who have either no prior...
Fool's joke when twos reach out to me today, but I won't be able to stay up tonight. It's way past my bedtime. I wanted to congratulate you two on hitting 100 episodes of the mashup. It's brought me a lot of laughs the following morning when I get to listen to it, and some anger at times. But I also wanted to congratulate Sean on making it to 2 years, full-time gig on podcasting, which is really cool because not many people can pull that off. So I hope you have a really good evening tonight, and just saying hi for me and the girls.
For those not up to snuff, that is the Dairy Cartel. He has graced himself on the actual Dairy Cartel. He has graced himself on the podcast. That was a fantastic interview, if I recall, and really enjoyed that. So Two's pulling out all the stuffs tonight. Jeez Louise, this is interesting. Okay. I don't know where to go from this other than Gondak got the Calgary Flames finally did something right in my eyes. They booed Gondak. And I don't know. I agree with everyone saying it. I don't know if anyone, you know, like who thought in their right mind having her show up to the Flames game to get booed was a good idea. Twos?
Well, it's just a PR. What the hell were you thinking? And then it's funny, like if you play this clip, you can hear someone talk about how embarrassing this is. Yeah, there it is right there. You know, you're in the middle of recall legislation that's getting a whole lot of traction. And I don't know, maybe she's just surrounded by a bunch of yes men who are like, actually, yeah, you are awesome. This is just a fringe minority with unacceptable views. And actually, the people do love you. But the polling doesn't say that. The recall doesn't say that. Time and again, you haven't had anything favorable about you said in the media forever. And then you're going to show up in the middle of that shitstorm. And yeah, like you have to expect that exact reaction. One of the frustrating things is that there's a lot of people being like, oh, why are you guys booing a woman? Why are you guys booing a woman? You're not booing a woman. You're booing a politician. And I've said this before, but if we're not allowed to be critical of female politicians, maybe we shouldn't vote for them. Or maybe you guys could just be adults. I lost my mouse here for a second, but here we go.
A bridge too far. So you got multiple things going on here. Everybody knows about the Baltimore Bridge. This was a new one. I didn't know about. This is... earlier this evening, just before 1:30 p.m., it says a large barge crashed in the Arkansas River Bridge, causing damage to both the ship and the bridge pillar. So I won't show the video. There's not much to see, but you can see the pillars and see the damage on the bridge. That's one, you know, there you go. And I think, here you go, the FBI. So everybody, I think, has heard now about the Baltimore Bridge and it getting ran into and probably seen the videos. The FBI recovered the black box and audio. However, 2 minutes of critical record data right before the ship crashed were lost.
Basically the bridge got Epstein'd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just literally had Tom Long and Alex Trainer on talking about it. And, you know, like, okay, maybe there's some things there. And Alex's big thing is how can you come out and say it's an accident? Like before you've even investigated, that makes zero sense. And I mean, now the black box doesn't have the audio. I mean, come on. Yeah,
And then immediately afterwards, you had CTV come out with an article. It's not on here, but CTV came out with an article saying that all the Canadian bridges are safe. they're safe and effective. Yeah, I think we've heard that from you dicks before.
Good on CTV.
That just made me suspicious. I wasn't even worried about our bridges until I saw that article, and I'm like, oh shit, they must be in bad shape.
The employment numbers are in, and I am just going to do what Mark Mulroney said. Here you go. Twos, what would you like to say?
Well, I think this kind of, if you go to the other picture in this, this says it quite well. All industries, there's all the job growth. You've got negative in a couple, really small gains in some of them. The only one with any gain at all of any substance, and in fact, more gains than all of the other ones put together. And in fact, you could say even more than all of the positive ones put together is the public sector. People don't realize how much hiring the government has been doing over these past several years. It's been absolutely insane. It's exploded. When I said that if I was prime minister, I would fire 222 people every day of every calendar year, I wouldn't even be able to keep up with it at this point. This is ludicrous. Do you know what it's called when everybody in the country works for the government? Where every person who has any job gets paid by the government for doing that job. It's called communism, Sean. Kind of a big deal a little while ago.
a little while ago.
Happy 2-year anniversary. There is nothing that makes me happier than seeing you succeed. And I think that's because you are one of those people that sees a bigger picture and finds a way to get other people to jump on board. I know over the last couple of years, there have been many times when I've called you while staring out that window right there, wondering, how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do? How should I handle this problem? And I've been able to contact you because you don't have a normal job like everybody else. And it means that I can call you, get a hold of you. But really, you've been a tremendous support to me, to my business. You've become an integral part of my friendship group. And man, I am just so happy to see that you have done 100 Tuesday mashups and that you've made such a wonderful thing out of your podcast. I believe that you are changing the world, and your listeners and audience are right there with you trying to make change and see the world be a better place. Good luck. We'll see you in 2 more years, man. Congratulations.
What the hell are you trying to do to me tonight?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're going to end up.
It was just a glitch. Weirdest thing ever.
Pulling
man.
On all the feels. That was Vince Croce for those not paying attention. He was.
He was up until tonight the best mashup.
The best mashup. That's right. That's pretty cool too. I got a lot of time and respect for
me too.
A lot of time and respect for Vance.
And by the way, is it just me or is he starting to go salt and pepper?
He is. Yeah. 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 This week in Twos was right. Okay. I started this by going Twos. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And then the headline kind of, okay. So this week in Twos was right. Here is Andrew Coyne saying, while I read the CSIS report with confidential sources, they commented that CSIS officers thought federal Liberal Party leaders were not responding to election interference threats because China was attacking the Conservative Party while the Liberal Party was gaining voters and support from China. As shocking as this must sound, this is what I heard from all my significant intelligence sources.
So this is a clip from Sam Cooper's, not Substack, it's something slightly different, but same kind of idea. And Sam Cooper, who you should have on the show already, goddammit, does a great job of talking about all of this Chinese election interference. And I said at the time when we first started hearing about it, that it sounds to me like they were targeting the conservatives because they want the liberals in charge because the liberals are pushovers and idiots. And you want your enemy to be as weak as possible. And then the liberals, while completely lacking any self-respect, like if this happened to a normal person, they would be like, why do the bad guys want me to win? What am I doing that makes the evil dictatorship with concentration camps think that they want me most to be in charge? And if that's the case, maybe I need to do some assessments and maybe think about doing things a bit differently. They're like, oh no, sweet. They're totally fucking over the competition. This is awesome. We're not going to look at it. But yeah. You guys do what you're doing. We're not going to check it out. You guys go right ahead. Right. This is exactly what I said was happening. And boom, Sam Cooper said I was right.
Mm-hmm.
Hughes is an idiot. Hughes was right.
Garbage governor gets gutted from gravesite. We can't have Twos getting too high, a big of a head, can we, folks? New York Governor Kathy Hochul kicked out of the wake for slaying NYPD officer Jonathan Diller after getting in a heated confrontation with a man in attendance. Hochul was only at the venue for 10 minutes before getting kicked out. Hochul left after someone shouted, get her out of here. Attendees were likely upset over the progressive policies that were responsible for Diller's death. Diller was shot and killed by suspect Guy Rivera, who had been arrested 21 times prior to the killing. And if you hadn't heard, of course, the NYPD officer getting shot. And then yes.
On a routine traffic stop a guy who had a shim hidden up his butthole because he was anticipating that he was going to be going back to jail because he'd been arrested and let go 21 different times at that point. And so people in New York are getting pretty frustrated about the soft on crime approach, and they are pointing right at this governor who's leading the charge on it. And then this governor says, oh, it's a shame my bad ideas got your husband killed. I'm here to pay my respects. And the people at the funeral told her to kick rocks. So good for them.
Ooh, a little loud. Child care ran by children. The Prime Minister unveiled a trio of child care-centric commitments that will be included in the upcoming federal budget with the aim of opening up more $10 a day child care spaces across the country as the Liberals continue to work towards creating 250,000 more new spaces by March 2026. Specifically, the Liberals are vowing to offer $1 billion in low-cost loans and $60 million in non-repayable grants to public and not-for-profit child care providers so they can build or renovate their child care centers. Quoted, I want to make a movement to talk to my young moms. Many of you Many of you millennials, you've grown up with so many pressures in this economy.
Young moms.
The 2008 recession, COVID, climate change. We want to make sure that everyone, especially moms raising kids, has the best chance to succeed and thrive. That's what Trudeau had to say.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about this a few weeks ago. The $10 a day daycare is falling apart because it was set up poorly and everything the Liberals touch turns to shit. Now, correct. Chris, the Midas shit touch that we've touched on before. And so now they're like, well, how do we salvage this? I guess we need to throw more money at it, which actually goes in the face of him trying to throw the provinces under the bus on this. Because in another article, he was saying how it was all the provinces' fault. It's all 10 provinces' fault for not getting this right. I'm the one guy in the room who is correct. And Raylan Givens, if you run into an asshole, you ran into an asshole. But if you run into assholes all day long, you're the asshole. If every single premier is saying that this thing is a shit show, it probably is. And Justin, you fucking suck at this job. Glenn and Tracy are going back and forth in the comments, and it's beautiful.
Drain the swamp. Okay. How about we start with this tweet? Okay. Is it true that Omar Khan, a CBC News employee earning $216,000 per year, deleted this post claiming how Justin Trudeau's $10 a day daycare saved him over $10,000 last year? That seems kind of scuzzy.
That's basically like him making $226,000 a year.
Omar Yarkon said, This program alone has saved me, my family, more than $10,000 a year. Hands clapping for a Justin Trudeau tweet for people seeing. He's talking about the $10 a day daycare.
Yeah. So then Marty up north jumps in and says, Hey, you're a bigwig at CBC. You make over 200 grand from the taxpayers every year. And you're talking about $10 a day daycare. And then he says, you're paying taxes so that this most entitled asshole can benefit. And yeah, that's basically what happens. And then after that, dude deleted his tweet. So good job, Marty.
Also drain the swamp. Canadian taxpayers' investment in Kenyan phone company plummets despite millions spent. Since 2017, FinDev has invested $43.4 million in shares of M. Copa Holdings Limited, a company based in Nairobi that specializes in door-to-door cell phone and home appliance sales. However, M. Copa has not yet turned a profit or issued dividends to shareholders. Corporate records reveal that M. Copa has repeatedly issued and reissued shares, effectively reducing Canadian taxpayers' equity investment in the company from 6% to 1.6%.
Oh, you missed the whole best part of it, though. Documents obtained through access to information revealed that FinDev purchased M. Copa shares without consulting chief investment officer and without disclosing financial details. The company's operations and Copa Holdings has relied on the sale of shares to cover ongoing losses. In a notice to shareholders in 2021, management stated that the company was in discussion to raise additional capital, blah, blah, blah. Jesse Moore, a former Toronto activist with ties to federally subsidized youth forum Action Canada, emerged as the largest single shareholder in M. Copa. Records show that Moore received significant compensation from the company, including stock options. Moore has declined interview requests and issued a company-wide email in 2021 warning staff not to speak to the media. He accused BlackRock's reporter of publishing false reporting and expressed concern about the dissemination of misleading information about MCOPA.
Did I mention I was driving in a vehicle with three children today trying to read about this? I don't know how I missed all that, but obviously I did. That is pretty freaking wild, man.
That's the whole, this is why it says drain the swamp at the bottom of the screen right now, Sean.
Somehow it doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't surprise me that BlackRock's reporter is the one that breaks it. Can I give enough time to Holly and to Tom for the work they do? Like a married couple breaking more stories in this country than anyone. And I got a lot of time for a lot of people in here. But once again, that is wild.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Swamp with a leak. Argentina President Javier Milei plans to fire 70,000 government workers in the coming months, and one of the clearest signs yet of how the libertarian's chainsaw-style approach intends to slash the swollen state. Beyond the job cuts, Milei boasted Tuesday at an event that he's frozen public works, cut off some funding to provincial governments, and terminated more than 200,000 social welfare plans, which he labeled as corrupt. It's all a part of his strategy to reach a fiscal balance at any cost this year.
Sean, what do you call firing 70,000 government employees?
A good day.
A good start. They keep calling it the chainsaw approach, and I get that because he was doing the thing with the chainsaw. But this is surgery. When you've got gangrene, you can't do anything other than just amputate. And Argentina is full of rot. So is Canada. We need to just start amputating entire fucking departments of this government. Now, that would have been the Argentina is draining their swamp one. But if we could go back to swamp with a leak, CRA fires 232 people for falsely claiming CERB benefit. They still have 235 files to investigate. They're too busy auditing. They're too busy auditing regular ass people to get around to investigating fraud in their own organization. We have literally been talking about this
for a year,
two fucking years,
yeah.
And they've only gotten like a third of the way through the paperwork.
Yeah, when I read this and I skipped over it, you know, you remember when they first came out? There's 600, but we only think 20, and then it's grown to 40 and to 80, now to 200. I wonder if it just ain't gonna end up being 600 twos. 600 people just get escorted out, call it a day, and just call it what it is. But they're still trying to get to the bottom of it. And every time we revisit this every couple of months, there's a couple more people escorted out, and the number just keeps ballooning.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere around 400 because, you know, when you've got, it was 600 and change, and they've fired 232 people, and they've got 235 more left. And they're probably all corrupt because they're Revenue Canada. What are you going to do? Audit me for shit talking you? And so anyway, these jackasses. Yes. Yeah. Actually, now that this isn't live though, is it? So anyway, I'm guessing that the 200 people they didn't fire, there wasn't sufficient evidence.
COVIDication.
I came up with a new word, COVIDication.
The health minister's representatives in the House of Commons have confirmed the COVID-19 vaccines were approved without evidence they prevent transmission. You don't say. Quoted, at the time of the initial authorization of the first COVID-19 vaccines, Pfizer-BioNTech, in December 2020, there was no reported evidence on the efficacy of the authorized COVID-19 vaccine to prevent asymptomatic infection, to reduce viral shedding, or to prevent transmission. Liberal MP Yasir Naqvi said in the House on March 22nd.
I know I asked you this last week, Sean, but just in case things have changed. Do you ever get tired of being vindicated about every last fucking thing in this topic?
The answer is no.
Me neither.
I'm just happy to see it coming out and then a liberal MP had to say it.
Oh, that's even better. I wish Justin had to say it. But that guy's never actually in the fucking House of Commons.
Trudeau no longer just an anchor for Canada. Even as the federal Liberal government under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau continues to plunge in the polls, Trudeau insists that he will not step down. He intends to lead his party into the next election, which must be held no later than October 2025. He is true to his word that he may proceed over an electoral disaster that would rival the 2011 election in magnitude. In that election, Michael Ignatieff led the Liberals to a third place finish, losing 43 seats in the process. It was their worst electoral result in history. The article then went on to talk about his father and how he took the long walk. And eventually, you know, the Liberals didn't do so well there either.
This is great. It's just Trudeau keeps doing worse and worse and worse. And I just see you can destroy the man and the mythos can still remain. But if you destroy the mythos, the man is gone too. And it's all just forever. It's just going to be this shit stain on the Canadian history books. And that's exactly what I want to see happen to that fucking guy.
Do you think he still thinks he can win?
I don't know. I mean, the guy's a frog from Ottawa. And so just on multiple levels, I don't think the same way. And I can't really put myself in his mindset. Especially, you know, just surrounding himself. That's probably one of the things is that he does surround himself with people who agree with him all the time, every time. And so I don't think people have a lot of frank conversations with him because the people who did do that back in the day have all been fired. And so, yeah, it's just,
I would love to just be in the room just to listen, just to hear, you know?
Oh, you know, it'd be great. I mean, we're going to be doing live coverage of it. So we wouldn't be able to, but wouldn't it be awesome to be in the Liberal campaign headquarters?
You think we could get accreditation to be in there?
We could try. We just got to track down somebody in Ottawa.
Or fly out to Ottawa.
Well, yeah, but are we not going to do the live coverage of the whole thing?
Yeah, probably. We'll work on that, folks. We'll work on that. 2 billion trees. I don't even know what to say about this story anymore. We decided we were going to put out a bunch of, you know, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced the idea of 2 billion trees program during the 2019 election and has pledged $3.2 billion to the cause. And I mean,
and nothing has happened. And it's been a bit of a puff piece talking about, oh, yeah, it's going to be like this CBC article is just the gentlest possible way of saying that Trudeau was completely full of shit.
Correct.
In the election campaign.
Correct.
And I did think it was just really interesting, the entire tone of this article and how, I don't know, coddling it was of the fact that dude had no intention of ever actually even planting the fucking trees. And then the other thing is, just in case anybody at home is, you know, keeping score, Canada is home to 30% of the world's forest. This is what I was building on before. The world's second largest country by land mass also possesses the world's second largest tree population. Now, that's the second largest population of trees. Our population isn't of the second largest trees. It's ambiguously written, but just go with it. Canada has roughly 318 billion trees, which cover almost 40% of the country. Canada's forests account for 30% of the world's forests. It's being redundant. And the most common trees in the nation are spruce trees, which are distinguished by their needle-like leaves. We have 318 billion of these fucking things. And they're like, oh yeah, we need to save the planet by planting 2 billion more. Anyway.
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind. Yeah. More inclusive.
There we go. Exactly. Yes, thank you.
And the budget will balance itself.
Man, you are one pathetic loser. No offense.
Is there any better way?
No.
To end that on that. That's the only way. Just a teensy mistake. A construction company has reportedly built a $500,000 house on the wrong property. It all started in 2018 when Ann Reynolds thought she'd found the perfect serene parcel in Paradise Park to host her meditative healing women's retreats in Hawaii. The price was right, available at a county tax auction for about $22,000, $22,500. While she waited in California through the pandemic for the right time to use it, the lot was bulldozed and a house was built on the property. She was unaware of the construction until she got a call last year from a real estate broker who had learned of the mistake. He told me, "I just sold the house and it happens to be on your property, so we need to resolve this."
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, I don't think the sale went through. But what happened was that the developers didn't want to pay the extra money to get a proper survey done, and they built the house in the wrong place, which happened to be on her property. And then they're trying to resolve it with her, saying, "Well, you know what? You could just buy the house. We'll give you a really good deal on it." Like, no, motherfucker. It's on my land. Like, this isn't even finders keepers. You went on my fucking land and built a house? I own that house. That's my house. That's my land. Like, you don't just be like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'll help you out with that a little bit." If you are that fucking stupid to build a house, like, this is like, remember in Loaded Weapon 1 when they try and blow up the trailer at the beach, and it's you know, that one particular scene from one of the Lethal Weapon movies. They blow up Emilio Estevez's trailer, but they try to, and then they realize that it's the wrong one. And this dude's like, no, 128 Cedar Drive is that way. This is basically that.
Order off the menu. A video posted online showing open drug use in a Maple Ridge, BC Tim Hortons. A group of men are seen smoking drugs in a booth right next to two women who are seemingly unaware of what's happening. Staff at the Tim Hortons on 224th Street tell Global News that the fumes from the drugs forced them to evacuate the restaurant. They said this type of problem is something that they have to deal with on a weekly basis. I liked how they had a large coffee to go with it. They were just like smoking some drugs, having a coffee. Like, it was like pretty standard.
Well, I get that Tim Hortons is, I wouldn't say flagged in popularity, but it's not as popular as it used to be. But I mean, there was a long time when people were like, "How much crack do they put in these things?" Well, apparently none, because you have to bring your own.
No excuses. The city of Oakland is now going after a 102-year-old man in a wheelchair. His crime? He was unable to remove all the graffiti painted all over his home by thugs. Victor Silva Sr. faces an $1,100 fine plus an additional $1,277 fines for each failed re-inspection. The guy's 102 in a wheelchair. Can you imagine being the guy fining him?
No. No, but I'm sure a lot of people in Ottawa were like, "Oh man, I wish I could have that form." Like, just imagine, like, it's heartless, it's stupid. Like, if that came across our desk, if we were idiot bureaucrats and that came across our desk, I'd look at it and I'd be like, "Okay, where's this guy live?" And I'd go over there with a scrub brush and I don't know, whatever you use to get rid of spray paint. I'm not an expert.
This is why we're not bureaucrats, news.
But I would show up and I'd be like, "Hey, I'm supposed to fine you here, but I lost the paperwork. And oh, well, I'm here. Do you think I could give you a hand with this spray paint?" Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm sure you'd do the same thing. I'm sure every single guest we've had on tonight would do the same thing.
Well, I would assume that's why none of us are bureaucrats.
Yeah, exactly.
Liberal studies have perfect track record. Carbon tax not to blame for affordability crisis, says University of Calgary study. UCalgary economist Professor Trevor Tombay, who wrote the study alongside public policy and economics associate professor Jennifer Winter, says the facts reveal fairly minimal effects for most products from the carbon tax. Quoted, "We find the carbon taxes increase air transport costs by about 0.9%, he explained. And then... Yeah. Pierre Poilievre said the federal conservatives say they won't be taking advice from the so-called experts when it comes to carbon pricing after more than 200 economists signed an open letter challenging Pierre Poilievre's stance.
Trudeau paid the WEF nearly $500K for the new nature economy report justifying his carbon tax.
That's Leslyn Lewis.
Yeah. And so anyway, you've got this situation where it's just straight up goddamn impressive, Sean. Every single study or report or investigation or whatever else that the Liberals have ever paid for in the last 8 years has gotten the exact results that they need to justify their policies. What are the odds?
What are the odds? Sunsets on solar. Drake Landing wants the leading solar heating community of its kind in North America may have to rely on fossil fuels as the aging system is breaking down and may be too expensive or impossible to fix. The 52 homeowners in the small, tight-knit community in Okotoks, that's where it was, folks, quoted, "It's important to note that we do not see this project as a failure at all. At the time, this system was revolutionary and caught attention from all around the world. Much has been learned because of this community."
Yeah, like what not to do. And then the other one, did you see the other article there?
4,000 acres of solar panels were destroyed in one Texas hailstorm. Locals are now worried about groundwater poisoning. Oop.
Yeah, look at all those busted ass solar panels. Now, I'm not a huge expert on solar energy or its capture, but I feel like if you have a 4,000 acre, like if you have 4,000 acres of glass, you would maybe just like put some shutters over them that you could open and close, you know, some kind of just like a little thing that just slides over top and, or, you know, some sort of, I don't know, a protective bubble, maybe like a dome. You do something, because it's got to be a lot better than having 4,000 acres of broken glass.
Yeah, look at that. They didn't see that one coming, did they, Tuz? They didn't see that one coming.
And you know what? I get it. You know, maybe having those shutters open and closed might be a huge power draw. So, you know, just tie it to something dependable, like natural gas or coal. But maybe that's just me.
Happy news! A southern Alberta man who was stuck in the mud for 2 days in Taber was rescued thanks to the efforts of his dog. Police were called on the north side of Sugar Factory property just before 7 a.m. on Thursday after receiving a report of a large dog in the area. When they arrived, police were not able to find the dog. A few hours later, though, police learned a man and his dog were bitten by the original large dog while in the area. When police went back to the scene, they noticed an Akita mixed dog laying on a nearby berm. They also heard cries for help. They then noticed a 61-year-old man stuck in the mud, muddy ditch behind some tall grass. He'd been stuck there for 2 days. The man was rescued and taken to hospital. He later told police his dog, who was aptly named Hero, stayed by his side for the entire 2 days and kept him warm. The pup even helped fight off some coyotes at one point. A lot of time for dogs, too. Yep.
A lot of time for dogs. That was the beauty of a rescue. And then what's the other one?
And then here, 6 years after he was paralyzed in the Humboldt Broncos bus crash, Jacob Wasserman has qualified for the 2024 Paralympics. So there you go. That's some pretty cool news as
well. Absolutely.
Mashup 100 in the books. Some community notes here. Obviously, April 27th. I think I'm at 21 tickets left. To the Cornerstone Forum. Of course, Tuz is going to be there. A whole bunch of people. Chris Sims is going to be there. Drew McKay, actually, is going to be there from tonight. A whole bunch of people from tonight are actually going to be there. So if you're interested, once again, Armstrong, Luongo Craner, Chris Sims, Curtis Stone, Chuck Prodnick, Mikhail Thorup, there's tickets on sale. Just go to any of my social media. That's April 27th in Lloydminster. Tuz is going to be there. Leighton Gray, the Cowboy Preacher, 222. Well, 222 minutes. Of course, he's going to be
Tuz
there.
Tuz is going to be there. 222 minutes is going to be there. 10.9 squared is going to be there. All right.
We have the 12th.
Chuck Prodnick. Chuck Prodnick was also supposed to be on tonight to give you his best. But
Chuck, you let me down. Hey.
Yeah.
12th
I
annual.
Even, I even gave him the time in military time.
12th annual PBR at Marwane Arena, April 12th, 2024. That's June. And then June 22nd, 2024, Aaron Goodvin and Garrett Gregory. And I have the winner. If you got a community news, I'm going to look up the winner. I literally have it written down here for tonight on the, because we were giving away tickets to the PBR at Marwane Arena. And I have it here sitting, if I can just find it. It's right. Bill the Mudman from Red Deer was the guy who won. That is
Bill the Mudman from Red Deer.
There you go. Bill the Mudman from Red Deer. Boy. You got tickets to the 12th annual PBR at Marwane Arena, April 12th.
By the way, Real Rigs have wheels, just saying.
May 11th, walk and run fundraiser in Turtleford. That is Mackenzie Bloom. All proceeds go into the MS Society. You can get a hold of her, 639-844-7101. And then Dustin Newman, who is on tonight, he's got the clunkerdunker.com. You can
do
a little bit.
How's that not sunk into the slew yet?
You got some gambling. It's getting close. It's got to be getting close. But they, you know, it's going to be like plus. It was like plus. It's supposed to be like plus 17 this week. I'm just saying there's going to be some money to be made. Clunkerdunker.com. Two, is anything else here on Mashup 100?
That's basically it. We've got. Never mind. No, that's basically it, except for watch for Mashup 101 on Friday.
101 on Friday. We're going to have a new look. We're going to be at a new time, 2 o'clock this Friday, back-to-back. Twos, my hat's off to you for lining up a whole bunch of people to come on and really mess up the old Mashup and have some fun with it. That was I did not see any of that coming. And
That was just technical glitches, man.
Technical glitches. Well, thanks anyways, everyone who
I was gonna tell Chris to be on too, and then you beat me to it, and I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, well we got some big things to talk about. Mashup 100, 101 coming Friday. We hope to see you all there. 2 p.m. this week, 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time is when it'll air. And then moving forward, we're going to be at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on Fridays. And we hope you'll join us as the Mashup transitions over to Fridays. That should be a lot of fun. Twos, any final thoughts? Mashup 100 in the books.
Darren Estopowich is Willie Darren. I didn't realize that you guys were one and the same. That's awesome.
There you go. So, and I guess I got to give, I got to give Twos some mad respect. You know, 100 Mashups in a row. He'll say 102. When I approached him with this stupid idea, you know, you never know where it's going to go. And we still don't know where it's going to actually go because, we, you know, neither one of us have been in the middle of the day when you're firing on all cylinders. So that should be interesting.
It's going to be weird to not be drinking beer during it. But,
But I mean, at the end of the day, you never know. On a long weekend, maybe, you know, you start the long weekend off on the right foot, too.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. And I mean, there's still always the Festivus episodes.
That's right. Well, either way, here's, 100 in. We'll see where the old Mashup goes here in the next year, folks. Thanks for hopping along with us two yahoos here as we continue to cruise along the Canadian landscape. Never seems to give us a dull moment.
Yeah. And I don't. Mama, thanks for the love. It's glad you can finally make it to the live stream.
All right, folks, that'll be enough for us tonight. We will catch up to you guys Friday. So thanks for tuning in and hopping along. And once again, it's going to be coming back real soon this week. The second time for the first time ever in Mashup history. I guess we had our where we traveled together. Other than that, we've never had you back on for two mashups. Friday, we'll catch up to you then, folks.
Thanks.